I dreamed, Joseph began, that I was in the fields with the flocks, and I was alone among the sheep that pastured on the slope where I lay. I lay on my belly with a straw in my mouth, and had my feet sticking in the air, and my thoughts were as carefree as my limbs. Then it happened that a shadow fell upon me in the spot where I lay, as of a cloud which darkened the sun, and therewith was a mighty rustling in the air above, and when I looked up, lo, it was an eagle which hovered over me with outspread wings, a huge bird, large as an ox, and with the horns of an ox on its head. This it was which overshadowed me, and there was all about me a great and violent roaring of wind, for it came straight over me, seized me by the hips with its talons, and snatched me up from the earth with flapping pinions from out of the middle of my father's flocks. "Oh, wonder!" interjected Benjamin. "I do not mean that I should have been afraid, but didst thou not cry out, 'Help, help!'" "That did I not," said Joseph, "for three reasons. For first, there was nobody there on the wide fields to hear me. Second, my breath failed, so that I could not have cried out had I wished. And thirdly, I did not wish, for there was instead a great joy within me, as of something long awaited and hoped for. The eagle held me by my hips from behind, and held me before him with his claws, his head above mine, while my legs hung down into the great wind of our flight. Sometimes he bent down his head to mine and looked at me with his steely eye. Then spoke he from his bronze beak, 'Do I hold thee well, my child, and not clutch thee too firmly with my resistless talons? I am taking great pains not to do so, to do no injury to thy flesh, for were I to hurt thee, then woe is me.' I asked, 'Who art thou?' He answered, 'I am the angel Amphiel, to whom this shape hath been given for this present purpose. For thy sojourn, my child, is not upon earth. Thou shalt be transported. Such is the decree.' 'But why?' I asked. 'Be silent,' said the uprushing eagle, 'and keep thy tongue from questioning, as all the heavenly hosts are bound to do. For it is the decree of overwhelming favor, and there is no tongue glibness availeth against it. If thou speakest and talkest, the decree cometh down heavy-handed. Let no one blister his tongue by speaking monstrous words.' So then I held my peace at his words and was silent, but my heart was full of fearsome joy. 'I am glad thou sittest beside me in proof that it was all a dream,' Benjamin said. 'But hadst thou then no sadness, to be mounting from the earth on the wings of eagles? And hadst thou no pain at all to be leaving us, even, for instance, thy little one here?' 'I was leaving you not,' Joseph answered. 'I was taken from you, and could not help it. But it seemed to me also that I had expected it.' 'It is true in a dream, too, that one hath not all the happenings before one at once, but only one thing. And with me, that was the fearful joy in my heart. So great was it, and so great what happened to me, that it may be the things thou speakest of looked small by comparison.' 'I am not angry with thee,' Benjamin said. 'I only look at thee amazed.' 'Thanks, dear little Bainey. And thou must remember that the ascent perhaps blotted out memory. For upward I went without pause in the eagle's talons, and after 2 double hours he said to me, "Look down, my friend, on land and sea. What hath become of them?" And lo, the land had become like a mountain in size, and the sea like a river of water. And then, after another 2 double hours, the eagle said again, "Look down, my friend, and see what hath become of ocean and shore." And the land was become like to a plantation, and the sea like a gardener's ditch. But after 2 double hours again, when Amphiel the eagle bade me look down, lo and behold, there was the land like a flat cake, and the sea the size of a breadbasket. After I saw this, I was swept upwards again another 1 double hour, and then he said, "Look down, my friend, and see that they have vanished, the land and the sea." And they were vanished, but I was not afraid. Through Sheyakim, the cloudy heavens, the eagle rose with me, and his pinions dripped with wet. There were golden gleams in the gray and white, for already on the cloudy islets about us stood single angels and members of the heavenly host, all clad in golden armor. These held one hand to their foreheads and peered after us, and animals crouched upon cushions, and I saw them lift their noses and sniff the breeze of our upward flight. Through Rakia, the starry heaven, we rose. Then came a thousandfold harmonious thunder in mine ear, and all about us were stars and planets in their musical numbers, and angels stood upon fiery footstools here and there, with tablets full of numbers in their hands, and pointed with their fingers the way to those oncoming mightily, for they might not turn round. And they cried to each other, "Blessed be the glory of the Lord where it resideth." But when we passed, they were silent and cast down their eyes. In the midst of my joy, I was afraid, and I asked the eagle, "Whither then, and how high wilt thou bear me?" He answered, "Endlessly high, into the highest height of the north of the world, my child. For so it hath been decreed, that I should bring thee straightway and without delay unto the uttermost height and breadth of Araboth, where are the storehouses of life, peace, and blessedness, and unto the highest vault, into the midst of the great palace. There is the chariot, and there the seat of glory, from which now on thou shalt daily serve, and shalt stand before him, and have power over the keys to open and to close the halls of Araboth, and whatever else one hath in mind concerning thee." I said, "If then I am elected and chosen out among mortals, then so let it be, for indeed it cometh to me not quite without my expectation." Then saw I a fortress, most awe-inspiring, built of ice crystal, the battlements manned with warriors, whose wings covered their bodies down to their feet, and their legs stood straight, but their feet were round feet, as one might say, and they shone like polished bronze. And lo, two such stood together, resting their arms on their snaky swords, bold of countenance and with prideful furrows on their brows. The eagle said, "They are Asa and Aziel, two of the seraphim." Then heard I how Asa spake to Aziel, "Five and 60,000 miles have I smelt out his coming. But tell me, what is the smell of one born of woman, and what the worth of one grown from the white drop of semen, that he may come up to the highest height of the heavens and take service amongst us?" And Aziel, in alarm, closed his lips with his finger. But Asa said, "Not so. I will fly with thee before the face of the one and only, and will dare to speak. For I am an angel of the lightning, and my words are free." And the two of them flew behind us. And through whatever heavens the eagle bore me by my hips, and through whatever ranks of hosts and swarms of fiery ministrants, all singing praises, their song was silenced on the instant as we flew past. And of the children of the upper air, some attached themselves to us, so that we were soon accompanied by hosts of the winged, before and behind, and I heard the rustling of their wings like the rushing of mighty waters. O Benjamin, believe me, I saw the seven halls of Zebul built in fire, and seven hosts of angels stood there, and seven fiery altars. There ruled the highest prince, named Who is Like God, in all the splendor of priestly vestments, and made fiery sacrifice, and caused columns of smoke to rise on the altar of the burnt sacrifice,